You are now tuning into the No Small Talk podcast, and we're your hosts, Ebony and Sherry, two introverts who actually do enjoy conversations, as long as it's not small talk. And you don't have to settle for small talk either. Change the conversation. We're here to show you how.
With our conversation starters, we want to help you enjoy meaningful conversations and build better relationships in order to succeed in business, life, and in love. We'll show you how to be confident, present, and vulnerable while starting conversations that you enjoy.
Relationships, parenting, careers, money, and wellness are all topics we discuss right here on this podcast. So get your headphones, your cup of tea, and get ready to be inspired to start your next conversation. No small talk.
They cannot do what they want. I got my freedom of speech. Yeah. Get to say what I want. They cannot lock me outside. I walk in right through the front. With a big bag like I'm back. You need to get my respect.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the No Small Talk podcast. I am your co-host, Sherry, and today we are listening to episode 57. But before we get into the episode, just want to check in. Hope you are good. Hope you are well. Hope you are enjoying the episodes with Ebony and I and our wonderful friends and guests. And I know you're enjoying because you're letting us know, which is great. We love hearing your feedback, and we want to encourage you to keep sending your feedback, your thoughts, your questions. Let us know how you feel about the podcast on Apple so that other introverts like you can know how you feel and they can jump on board. Your reviews, your subscriptions, your follows on Apple help us attract other listeners, help the podcast get exposed to other people who need this information. So we thank you for the comments so far, and we encourage you, if you have not already, to please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, so episode 57. Today, we are talking about privilege. Specifically, our conversation starter is, do you think you have achieved success in life because of privilege, in spite of privilege, or a lack of privilege? Yes, privilege. We know that that word has gotten a bad rap in certain circles, and sometimes we can shy away from talking about privilege because it can be triggering in some ways. But I wanted to go there today because honestly, it's a topic that, while triggering and while it can be divisive depending on who you're speaking with or how you're approaching the conversation, it's so important and critical in helping us deal with some of the social and economic disparities we're experiencing today in America. The incidents that happened in the summer of 2020 with the murder of George Floyd and other Black people in America, and the disparities we witnessed with the impact of COVID in Black and Brown communities, have forced us to really have more courageous conversations around race, race relations, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And within those discussions, the concept of privilege typically comes up. And I am so delighted to have this conversation with Dolores Sarfo-Darko. As a fellow podcaster, I follow Dolores, and I love how she uses her platform to amplify the voices of other Black women and as a source of inspiration. Her podcast, Flourish with Dolores, features vulnerable conversations between Dolores and her friends to inspire and affirm that flourishing is about progress, not perfection, and that you don't have to have everything figured out. We thought that it would be a great idea to have Dolores on the podcast. Her energy is so amazing and contagious. Her Instagram page is popping. And it would give her an opportunity to learn more about Ebony and I, and us an opportunity to learn more about her. So without further ado, no small talk. So we are going to jump right into the question of the day. Dolores, do you think you have achieved success in life because of privilege, in spite of privilege, or a lack of privilege?
I love this question when I saw it because it's just such a great question, and I'm going to start using that as a conversation starter. So for me, I think it's a mix. I think we all have some sort of privilege. So I think a lot of times when we think of privilege, we think white, black, white privilege. But I've achieved success because of privilege, just being able to grow up in America. And I know we have our things, especially this year with everything that we've been going through. I know I realized America is pretty trash and not the country that I think we've always thought it to be. But in a sense, there are opportunities here that some people in my country where I'm from, Ghana, don't get to have. So I have privilege in the sense where I was able to go to a high school, then go to a college, and then get a great job. And not to say that that's not happening in Ghana, but my sister recently came from Ghana. She was 20. And just seeing her have to pretty much start over and figure out and navigate this country, I don't know, I just felt like a sense of privilege to have grown up here and already pretty much be settled. So when it comes to comparing my life against someone who may not have the same privilege in Ghana, maybe not because someone in Ghana doesn't have certain privileges, I think we all do, but because of the ones that I've been able to have in terms of the school that I went to, I would definitely say I've achieved a certain level of success because of that. Now, I would say that I've also achieved success because I didn't have certain privileges. So although I didn't grow up in extreme poverty, I grew up with a mom who worked multiple jobs and worked really, really hard to have everything that we have. So for me, even though I didn't have like name brands and all these like fancy things, I just saw my mom really hustle to have a roof over our head, a nice home. And for me, that just showed me if I want certain things, I need to work my butt off. The lack of not having things just handed to us and seeing that you have to work hard to have what you have, I feel like I turned the lack of privilege of not having that and having to work multiple jobs. I've been working 2 to 3 jobs since I was 16. So I feel like that turned me into somewhat of a hustler. If I want to get something, I can go out and get another job in order to get it. I can find resources in order to get it. So I'm considered low income, first gen student. I work in higher ed. I'm always attracted to students who are low income, first gen. And a lot of times we're seen as folks who lack privilege, but I always tell them, like, you see the privilege that you had to learn how to hustle. You had to learn how to make a way out of no way. And to me, that's turning the lack of the quote unquote privilege into a privilege, because there's people out there who we see as privilege, who mommy and daddy gave everything to. They pretty much get the job because they know someone in it. But a lot of times they don't know how to fend for themselves. They don't know how to hustle. They're used to just getting everything. So I think there's beauty in both. And I think it just depends on how you use it.
Yeah, I love that answer. And I know that Ebony and I are both Nigerian. And so similar to you coming from Ghana, we are also from immigrant backgrounds. And I do believe that when you come from an immigrant home, you do have a different perspective on this issue, in the sense that we compare ourselves to the people back home, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that we have to go through certain unfair treatment sometimes here in the States as being a minority, especially my parents. They seem to not acknowledge it or focus on some of the disparities as much as I do, being born in America, because they're always thinking about it's worse back home. There are people who don't have jobs back home, not because they're not educated, but they're just no jobs. There are people who don't go to school or can't go to school because of the system they're currently subjected to. And I was watching or listening to a podcast earlier this week, and the conversation was not focused on privilege, but the guest was talking about the fact that she came from the Philippines, and she came to the Philippines at the age of 9, and coming to America, it was a dream come true compared to what she was going through. And again, for me, it was immigrants or people from an immigrant background, we do seem to have this sense of gratitude and this sense of it could be worse. And I know when my little cousin came to America years ago, we were in a situation where we had to stay in an apartment because the house next door got burned down, but then we had water damage, and so we had to stay in an apartment. And so we were going to the laundromat, and we brought him with us. This is like his first or second week in the States. And he's looking at the machine like it's something so strange. He's like, you people are so lazy. He's like, you people need a machine to wash your clothes. You Americans are so lazy. To me, I'm looking at him like, this is
a standard of living, right?
Yes.
As luxury. This exactly. is just what it is. But he's looking at it as luxury. For us, we don't have to be rich necessarily to have a washing machine. If you can't have a washing machine, you go to the laundromat, right? It's just convenience. For him, people back home, we wash our clothes with our hands. So it's interesting that when you answered that question, one of the first points you went to was you coming from an immigrant background.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so many perspectives even embedded in that, because you see images of people in neighborhoods who are considered poorer. So not just like within our countries, but just neighborhoods around the world. And a lot of them are just so happy with we look at it as like with the little they have. And sometimes we could even see that as a privilege of not having to deal with the mess, the social media, all of the amazing things that we have that kind of are luxury and make our lives a little easier. A lot of times it's a huge distraction and keep us from truly being happy. So I think sometimes when we talk about privilege, it just depends on what type of privilege are we talking about. And then you have people in Ghana who are like, I would never go to America. Like, I'm good over here. You know, like, y'all are trash, you know? So it really depends on the perspective for sure.
Perspective is definitely key, because everybody could attest to it as well. There's a group of people in Nigeria who have the same sentiments. They would never come to America because we work too hard. And they're privileged in Nigeria. They're comfortable. Like, they have the driver. They have the cook. And
they have a nanny.
Yes, the house girl.
House help.
House help, all of that. And you don't even have to be wealthy. That's like middle class. But it is perspective, as you mentioned.
Yes, yes.
I was even going to use your washing machine or a laundromat example. Your cousin looked at that as a privilege, right? Like, oh, we're lazy and we're washing our own clothes. But if you go to certain other neighborhoods where people have money, to them, that's an inconvenience, right? Having to leave your house to walk to the or drive to the laundromat when you have people for that. You have people that pick up your laundry and handle that for you in the home. So like we said before, it is really perspective and relative to whoever is looking at the quote unquote privilege.
And there's levels to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what about you, Ebony? Do you think you have achieved success in life because of privilege, in spite of privilege, or a lack of privilege?
So my sentiments are pretty much the same as Dolores. You know, you mentioned that we're both Nigerian. My parents came from Nigeria. They didn't come from rich families. They came here with the purpose of starting a better life for themselves, going to school, having a family, and being able to raise their kids and provide them the things that they didn't have. And I do feel privileged by that. I feel that my parents taking the chance and coming here and having us here definitely puts me, quote unquote, at an advantage to some other people who may not have that opportunity. I got to grow up in America, go to school here. I'm a US citizen. There are lots of privileges that come with being a citizen. I'm an immigration attorney, so I serve the immigrant community. So I see many of the advantages of being a citizen that we take for granted. So just the fact that I have these opportunities, America is the land of the free and there are opportunities. I can do anything that I set my mind to do, right? You know, in other parts of the world, women are limited to what they can do, right? In some parts of the world, women can't get an education. Something as simple as that, that we might not consider that much of a big deal. So the fact that I'm here in this country, I do find and believe that it is a privilege, but there's two folds to that story, right? Being Black in America, being a Black woman in America, I think that we have always been taught and brought up that we need to work harder. And that's part of being a daughter of an immigrant. And just knowing that in America, as a Black person, if you're going to achieve anything, you're going to have to outwork everyone else. We're going to have to be two steps ahead. We're going to have to be the best, right? Be more educated. We have to carry ourselves a certain way because we know we don't have the quote unquote privileges as people that are non-African-American or non-minority, people who are white. So I think in spite of the privilege that white people have, I've worked hard to achieve the things that I have been able to achieve in life. But I also play that to the fact that I came from an immigrant family where my parents always pushed me to do well and to work hard and always try to achieve the best. So despite having coming from a quote unquote white family or a rich family, I think that I was still able to find success, go to school, get an education. And the fact that my parents came to this country, I don't know if I'm making any sense, I was able to go to school and get an education. So either way, I feel like I'm blessed to have the opportunities that I have today.
Well, I do believe you're making sense. You're talking about or highlighting the value of role models. And I believe Dolores also mentioned it, right? Your parents both came to this new country. And while they weren't fully acclimated and while they had some disadvantages, they worked hard. They knew that they had to work hard. They had to hustle more just to get a start. But you saw that work ethic. You saw them hustle despite the fact. And I do believe that that does add some level of privilege, having role models in your life that you can model after does make a difference.
Yeah. And you know what just came to mind too? The privilege of the way we speak. So I'm sure all three of us can slip into an African accent real quick, but the way we speak is very, very traditional American accent. And
right.
It reminded me of how when I actually was born in Ghana and I came here when I was like 4 and I came speaking our language tree, and my dad didn't speak it to me when I came here because he wanted me to lose the accent that I had developed just as like a baby. Like, you know, babies like say little things with accents. And one day I was so upset with him. I was like, I wish I knew how to speak it because I feel like it's a disadvantage because I could be using this to my advantage, especially, you know, I work at a university, and when other Ghanaian students see my last name, they're like, oh, they feel relief. Like, oh, this girl can help me. Like, she can explain things in our language. And it always breaks my heart that I can't. But speaking of privilege, he felt like he wanted me to lose my accent so that I wouldn't be seen as less than for having one, because he experienced the lack of privilege of being a very smart person, but because of his accent, kind of being looked down on from his experience. So he didn't want that for me. He didn't want that to be a reason why I didn't get hired or a reason why I wasn't taken seriously. And that's also something else to think about that folks have to experience. I think that was decades ago. I think we're changing now. We honor different, well, it depends where in America we're talking, but for the most part, we honor different cultures, and we see it now as an advantage. Like, oh, you're bilingual? Okay, you could probably talk to this person. But that's just another privilege that we have, that as I was listening to the both of you speak and also myself, I'm like, wow, like this is something we don't even realize.
I totally agree with what you said, because my parents, they started having kids right away when they first came to this country, and they were very intentional about not speaking their language to us when we were kids. They regret that now because obviously they're like, you should be speaking, you know, you should know how to speak it fluently and so forth. But at the time, they thought it would be a disadvantage if they spoke to us that way, because maybe we wouldn't speak English properly, or we wouldn't understand, we'd be confused as children. And they didn't want to affect us in that way because they felt like it would be a disadvantage. And I just wanted to say that I completely agree with that, because I've experienced that as well with my own family.
I knew where you were going with the accent, because that's, you know, part of conversations that I've had with my mom. I remember one time early in my career, this is when I, not even early in my career, when I graduated undergrad and I was looking for a job, one of the first jobs that I got after graduation, I was having a hard time navigating certain situations, especially with my boss. And I was complaining to my mom and I wanted to quit. And I remember her not empathizing with me at all. She did not feel sorry for me. From her perspective, I was being a spoiled brat. You don't understand how lucky you are. You are an American in America. You speak their language. You don't have an accent. What is your problem? Do you know what I had to go through when I had to come here? My accent was the foundation of jokes and mockery. And she said she went through that regularly. And it was interesting. That was the first time I heard my mom speak in that way. You know, as a child, you look up to your parents, you don't look at them the same way the outside world looks at them. So when she opened up that way and was so vulnerable that way, I did not appreciate the fact that she could not empathize with me. But that was the first time where I sat back and said, oh my God, my mom is human. And she went through the unfortunate human experiences just because she was not an American and did not grow up in this country and sounded different. So when you said that, it immediately took me back to that conversation, which I can laugh at now. It is real, you know.
Yeah, the truth is people treat immigrants and people with accents differently.
Yeah.
It's something they're not used to. Maybe they're uncomfortable because they don't feel like they can understand the accents, whatever the reason is. But immigrants definitely do have a totally different experience than us, people that were born here or raised here. And we don't wear our, I guess, culture on our sleeves because we don't have that accent. Right. Like my husband, he was raised in Nigeria. So when he came here, he was in junior high school, which is like a very critical stage when you're growing up. And he faced that. Kids were very mean and they teased him based on his accent. He couldn't pronounce certain words. I think he said he used to pronounce Mercedes as Mercedes. Or the, he would say the. And if you hear my husband now, Sherry, you know Chimdi personally, he doesn't have an accent.
I thought he was born here. It wasn't until more recent conversations that we've been having that I learned that he was not born here.
Exactly.
Is he putting on the English accent or does he put on the African accent? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And this is actually become his accent. So like his true accent now is more American. He was here when he was a baby and went back like around 4 or 5 and then came back as a teenager. So he actually had to go through 2 different transitions, going back to Nigeria as an American and then coming back to America as a Nigerian and having to do that whole transition. But he said he had a teacher in, I think, the 7th grade who actually took the time to teach him how to pronounce certain English words like the and so forth, and was really invested in helping him work on his accent and stuff like that. And he said once he was able to change his accent, he saw a difference in how people treated him in school. There was more respect. Kids weren't as mean and stuff like that. So immigrants have that experience. So I think when our parents, they were trying to protect us from those experiences that they personally felt. And your mom, Sherry, you know, she's right. My mom also talks about her experiences where people would call her all sorts of African booty scratcher, or they would pretend like they can't hear what she's saying and so forth. So when we complain about the little things that we go through at work, they're probably looking at us like, listen,
Yeah, I don't know.
You have a job. You have this advantage. You can actually grow within the company, right? And whereas they might not have had those same opportunities because of their accents and where they came from.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you mentioned we can grow within the companies, and we can. The issue is sometimes we feel like we have to work harder in order to grow. And I don't think my parents don't recognize that. To them, it's more like, and so, work harder.
Yeah.
And that can be frustrating because we come from this place of, but why do we have to work harder?
Yes.
Right? It's not fair. And I just think that in their generation, they've just gotten used to it. They've always had to work hard, even when they were back home sometimes. And so it's in their DNA, whereas we're seeing people who do not have to work as hard. So for me, I'm like, why do I have to be put in this unfair competition? I could be using my energy and my efforts to go somewhere else. Why do I feel like I have to compete this way only because of the way I look or only because of the way I sound? And it's just that unfairness that builds resentment, and you're like, no, I'm not going to work harder. We can't afford to say that, but you wish you could say that. Yeah.
Ebony, you're already raising children, but we're in an interesting place where we have how we were raised, but then we were also raised in this American culture. Like, so it's kind of like we have like 2 different angles. So I guess my question is, how are you going to raise your children? Are you going to mix the two? I feel like we kind of have the privilege of seeing both perspectives of raising children.
Oh, yeah. I think about that all the time. And sometimes when I actually tell my kids about my upbringing and they're like, really? You had to do that? Or really? That's what it was? That's what it was like? And I'm just looking at them like, you guys are just so privileged. You know, you have no idea. the blessings and the opportunities that you guys have now. And I'm grateful that they do. Don't get me wrong. But for me, I try to be very intentional about keeping my kids grounded. I do understand that they are privileged and they're going to be afforded a lot of opportunities that I didn't have. And don't even get me started, that my parents didn't have and so forth. But that's what we want, right? We want our kids and our children, our generation, to be better than we were. So I'm not upset about that. But I think that it's very important for my husband and I to just be intentional about reminding our children of their privilege and that they understand that they are privileged and that this is not the case for many children around the world. We actually sit down with them and we'll have them watch videos on YouTube of other countries so that they can see how people live in, around the world. There's a documentary that we watched with the kids. It shows different children around the world and how they travel to school. And they feature kids in many different countries. And some of the countries, you'll see kids walking miles with no shoes on to get to the nearest school to get an education. And I show this to my kids so that they understand how privileged they are, that you get picked up every day. You get to drive to school. You have shoes. You don't have to worry about wearing shoes. Something as shoes is so simple. You go to your class and you get it. These kids have to walk for miles just to get an education. And now you can get your education at home. You don't even have to leave the house. So for us, it's very important that we remind them that they're privileged so they don't take that for granted. I think a lot of times people are so caught up in their own world and their own privilege that they fail to realize that that's not the reality for most people around the world. Right. So
I love that you guys show them the documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. I'm taking notes for when I'm ready.
What about you, Sherry? Do you think that you've achieved success in life because of privilege, in spite of privilege, or a lack of privilege?
Yeah, like both of you said, this is such a difficult, an interesting question, especially in light of the fact that in this environment, whenever privilege comes up, it can be triggering. And we immediately see privilege as a race thing, because it can be. I'm not denying that it definitely can be. And my first introduction to the concept of privilege really was in the context of race, because that's where I saw it highlighted. And, you know, as both of you were talking, and as I continue to think about this question, I realized that depending on where you are, maybe what setting you are in, there are times where you can feel like you did not have privilege. And in other rooms, you can feel like you are very privileged. I know that when I first started out in a law firm, I felt like I was not privileged, because for me, privilege was seeing other associates get far because of their connections. They knew people who knew people. They knew people at the firm. Maybe they were related, or maybe their fathers were buddies that played golf together. I didn't have those connections. Or people who may have went to an Ivy League school because their parents went to the same Ivy League. So I'm not a legacy student. I felt like I couldn't bring in a book of business to the law firm because I just didn't have that type of network. So there were times where I did not feel like I was privileged. But as I got older and mature and found myself in very diverse settings, I had to acknowledge that I do in fact have privilege, right? So I may not be as privileged as some. As I mentioned, I did not go to a private school. I did not grow up with free tutors. I did not grow up with certain people in my network. But as you both mentioned, or as Ebony mentioned, I was born in America. I am an American. I grew up with both of my parents who are still married. I grew up with a father in the household. I grew up with parents who paid for my college. They paid every dime of my tuition.
Wow, that's nice.
That's a privilege, girl.
Yeah.
While I worked, that's a blessing. Right. While I worked, it was more to learn work ethics and discipline. I did not work because I had to help my parents pay bills at all. My parents never asked me to move out the house at the age of 18, right? When I think about all of those now as an adult, I realize how blessed I was, because there were certain things that I didn't have to fight for, or I was able to spend more time studying, right? Because I did not necessarily have to work. I was able to use my money on myself without working 2-3 jobs to pay college tuition, right? So in that sense, I do see myself as privileged or privileged enough to get me some level of success. That said, I understand that sometimes my success could look like it's limited because of certain things that I do not have, but I'm not letting that hold me back. I also have privilege in the sense that I have two parents who taught me how to fight, who taught me how to work hard, who taught me how to hustle. So I have that work hard mentality. I can't afford to give up. I can't afford to wait for certain things to be handed to me. And those were as a result of the values and the lessons that my parents taught me. And so all of that to say, while I may not be as privileged as some, I understand that I still have more than others. That puts me in a better position, or maybe advances me a little bit more. And this is coming to true more so. We're seeing this, right, with COVID and the pandemic. I think people were forced to realize or recognize their privilege, even if they did not recognize it before. So again, I'm not talking about the race factor that is there, but I think it's important for everyone, each and every one of us, to recognize how we are privileged and where we can use our privilege to help other people. Recently, I had a conversation with a coworker, and I've been sharing this story often because I had to check myself. I had to check myself, honestly. She was asking my legal advice about whether we needed a written confirmation from a customer for a particular request. As an attorney, I'm always going to say, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen, right? I don't trust a verbal communication, so why can't we have this in writing? And she was explaining that for this type of transaction, it happened so quickly, we don't have time to get written confirmation. We need to get something quicker. So I said, well, why don't we just put it in email? Like, why can't we get the confirmation over an email? And she said, Sharifa, not everyone has the internet. Not everyone has the computer.
It's true.
And I was just like, damn. Like, she got me. She made me realize how blind to a privilege I was, because as we talked about earlier in the conversation, some of these things we just see as simple things. We don't see these as luxuries because we had the benefit of just growing up with them. It wasn't with question, but we saw in the pandemic when children had to go to school remotely, there were some kids who didn't have the resources.
Exactly.
Right? They didn't have the computers. They didn't have the internet, and people were trying to figure out how to create a hotspot for them. It truly was a humbling experience. And I think that why it's important to me, because we're having a lot of these conversations, especially now when we're promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm happy to see that we're in America where we now see a Black female vice president, and we're seeing more representation on all levels. So that's encouraging. But aside from that, it's forcing us to have a lot of these conversations. And while it can be divisive and separate us, I think that there are opportunities for us to come to some common ground when we recognize that while I may not have the same privilege as you, I do have privilege too. And I'm going to show you how. And I think it's having those conversations can be less intimidating when we approach it that way. Because honestly, I think many of us can acknowledge that we have had some sort of privilege that has helped us in life, even if it's just been a mentor, right? And so that's my perspective and that's my thoughts on the topic and the question.
Such a great question, ladies.
Yeah, it is, because it really makes you really think and just remember how privileged and blessed that you are compared to many other people around the world or even in the country. Yeah. When you talked about the example about kids not having computers or access to certain resources for school, it didn't occur to me until last year also when the pandemic initially hit and everyone had to be at home. When I spoke to the teachers at school and they said they were trying to figure out how to help those kids who are going to be able to virtual learn get access to computers. And I was like, wow, that's true. A lot of people don't have a computer, or maybe they only have one computer at home because mom and dad now has to work on one computer and then they have multiple kids. Like, how do you get around that? So it's really important. I think that this is a really good conversation starter because it allows you to reflect and really appreciate what you do have, because sometimes we get caught up in feeling sorry for ourselves and feeling like we're lacking in certain areas. But when we really stop to reflect and think about the privilege that we do have, we can have like a newfound appreciation for just what we do have.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both for your insights and your conversation. Honestly, it was really good. And now we are going to transition into the final segment, which we call our lightning round. And these next three questions are going to be targeted to you, Dolores. The floor is all yours here. Mm-hmm. First question we have for you is, if you were on Introvert Island for 3 weeks, what three books would you take with you?
Good one. So the first one would be Americana. Americana for sure, because there's a lot of great lessons in that. And it's just like a nice juicy read. 1,000 Splendid Suns is a great way to, kind of talking about privilege, it's a great way to look outside yourself and see how it takes place in India. I forget where, but see how other people live and how they journey through their life. And then the third one I'm reading now, which is The Alchemist. So all of these books are like self-help, but it's not just like, this is a self-help book. It's through a story, through someone journeying through life. And so if I'm on an island, I want to hear about how they journey through as I'm trying to journey through this island. So those would be my three books.
So the next question for you, Dolores, is what is your favorite No Small Talk conversation starter?
A question I love to ask, depending on the situation, is what makes you feel joy? Like, when are you in your flow? And a lot of times that can lead to different conversations, like how this conversation led in different ways. Because once you ask the person that, what gives them their flow, let's say they're like, you know what, when I'm working out, and then it's kind of like, well, what about working out? Like, and then you kind of hear a story about their childhood and how that connected to how they feel now when they work out. So I think asking someone like, when do you feel like you're at your flow, or when do you feel the most joy, is a great question starter. It's a deeper one. It can get deep, but I love a question like that.
And the last question, what has been your negative self-talk recently, and replace it with an affirmation?
Ooh, so I'm very metrics driven, like solution driven. So I'm always looking at, in terms of my work and my brand, I'm always looking at how well it's doing. What are the numbers? And right now, because I'm growing Instagram and YouTube, my quote unquote success, which I hate that to even word it this way, is based on getting a certain level and amount of views or getting a certain amount of likes. And I hate that I have to measure myself that way. But I feel like instead of looking at it that way and giving myself that negative self-talk, like, oh, the video must have not been good because enough people didn't view it, I always remind myself, like, God, you know, I'm just helping this one person. Like, if I could just help this one person, even this podcast, if one person can listen to this and see the light in some of the privileges they've had, and even some of the privileges they didn't have, like, see how sometimes a privilege that you didn't have still gets you to where you're supposed to be. And if you did have, let's just say, a two-parent household, maybe things would be a little different. So I think sometimes like our journey and our path is written the way it's supposed to be written. And sometimes we should celebrate those privileges. Kind of going off on a tangent, but that's how I've been shaping my negative self-talk. So instead of thinking about the numbers, of course, I'd love to have a million views. I'm just thinking about how I can impact just this one person, because that's why I started. So remembering your why of why you started is something that I use to affirm myself. So that's big for me.
I love it all. Thank you so much, Dolores. Thanks for coming on and blessing Ebony and I with this great conversation and blessing our listeners. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me. Finally, I'm glad I'm on No Small Talk.
Yes.
Oh my God. I am so happy that we decided to have this conversation, given the fact that it can be controversial, given the fact that it can be triggering. But the conversation on privilege that we had with Dolores really highlighted what I knew was true, that privilege can be seen beyond the race context. Yes, typically when we think about privilege and when we think about how privilege has affected many of us, it has been seen and talked about in the context of race and race relations, specifically white privilege. White privilege is real. We are in no way denying it. I know that as a Black female, I have been denied access to certain opportunities, consciously or unconsciously, because I do not share that privilege. That said, as we think about how to move the needle forward when it comes to the advancement of equity, diversity, and inclusion, and when we talk about closing the gap and the disparities that exist in certain neighborhoods or communities or that impact certain neighborhoods or communities in greater ways, it's really important for us to look at privilege in a broader context. Privilege can be in the sense of socioeconomic status, race, culture, gender, how you grew up, whether you grew up with two parents in the household, whether you grew up with a father in the household. All of that helps influence who we are and the type of access that we gain. And when we approach it that way, we can really look within ourselves to see what privileges we have and how we can use our privilege to help others. As I acknowledge the privileges that I've been blessed to have, I also acknowledge that it comes with a responsibility, and I carry that responsibility in so many ways, and I hope to always be conscious of not only the privilege that I have, but the responsibility that comes with it. I do believe that if we fail to acknowledge how each of us may be privileged in different forms, we've missed the opportunity to be a solution to the problem that does exist. And we also possibly miss the opportunity to connect with people who may not look like us, especially as we endeavor to have these courageous conversations. We want to have these courageous conversations. And I find that when we can approach these conversations with a level of humility and with the goal to connect, then we don't need to get stuck at the differences. The differences don't need to tear us apart, and we don't need to shy away from the differences, but we don't need to use the differences to separate us or make us feel better or less than the other, or to create this divide that keeps us from moving forward together, that keeps us from being allies and supporters and friends and colleagues and having good conversation and building meaningful relationships. So I hope that this conversation has encouraged you to look at privilege differently or holistically, and more importantly, encouraged you to reflect and see how you've been privileged and how your privilege or lack of privilege has helped with your success or your growth in life. Until next time, no small talk.
Oh my God, I come from a place that goes so hard. I'm not afraid of words, you can bring the war. If you don't want problems, then don't start. Don't start. They told me shut up and dribble. Tell your president, act presidential. Bottom line, I won't keep quiet, not this time, not this time.